what I took to be the crew's quarters. I could see no one else in the compartment. The crew must all be on duty, I thought. Marguerite was wearing an ill-fitting gray jumpsuit that bagged over her trim frame. She had turned the pants and sleeve cuffs up. They were far too long for her. Her eyes were red. She had been crying. But she was dry-eyed now, and her hair was neatly combed and pulled back from her beautiful face.
"How do you feel?"
she asked, almost timidly. As I looked up at her, I realized that my right eye was swollen almost shut. She bent over me, and for a moment I had the inane idea that she was going to kiss me. No such luck. I reached out to her, and she took my hand tenderly in hers. But that's as far as she was willing to go.
"Are you all right?" she asked.
"What difference does it make?" I heard myself say. "Whine, almost. I'll be dead in a few days." Her hand tightened around mine.
"What do you mean? You weren't hurt that badly."
"My enzyme shots. Without them, my anemia will kill me."
"Oh,"
she actually groaned.
"I had forgotten about your condition."
"My medical supplies were aboard Hesperus," I said. "Unless there's an Olympic-class biochemist aboard and a warehouse full of pharmaceutical supplies, I'm a dead man." Marguerite looked truly distressed.
"We don't even have a ship's doctor. Fuchs didn't include one in his crew."
"Then he might as well have killed me instead of just humiliating me."
"There must be something we can do."
"You're a biologist," I said, the faintest tendril of hope flickering within me. "Could you—" I let the question dangle between us. Marguerite stared down at me for a long, silent moment. I could see it in her eyes. There was no way she could synthesize the growth hormone I needed. I realized that I didn't know the hormone's chemical formula or even its technical name. I always had people around me like Waller to take care of those details. "God is in the details," I remembered hearing somewhere. "Death is in the details," I told myself. Marguerite broke into my thoughts.
"He wants to see you," she said.
"Wants to see me?"
"The captain. Fuchs."
I actually managed to bark out a bitter laugh. "Why? Does he need more punching practice?"
"He sent me to bring you to his quarters. He said you've been resting long enough."
I growled. "So he's making medical diagnoses now. That's why he doesn't need a physician in his crew."
"Can you get up?"
Marguerite asked. "Sure," I said, propping myself on an elbow and then gripping the bunk's edge with both hands to support myself in a sitting position. My head thundered with pain. Marguerite grasped my shoulders to steady me as I got to my feet. I wanted to slide an arm around her waist, but thought better of it. "I can stand on my own," I said, working hard to keep from moaning. Or collapsing. Someone had taken my slippers. Marguerite checked the drawers built in under my bunk while I stood there and concentrated on standing erect. The slippers were gone, so I headed for the hatch barefoot. The metal deck felt reasonably warm. "See," I said as we ducked through the hatch and out into the passageway. "Nothing to it." In truth, I felt better than I had any right to expect. A little woozy, but that might have been nothing more than my imagination. Plenty of aches and stiffness, and my head throbbed with pain. But I made it down the passageway under my own power. As we reached the ladder that led up to the bridge level, I caught a glimpse of myself in the blank face of a display screen set into the bulkhead. My right eye was swollen and discolored, my hair a disheveled mess. I stopped and smoothed my hair into place. I had to hold on to some shred of dignity when I faced Fuchs again. Up the ladder we went, down another passageway. Then we stopped in front of a folding door labeled Captain. I squared my shoulders as best I could and rapped on the metal doorframe. "Enter," came Fuchs's muffled voice. His quarters were a shock to me. It was only one compartment, but it was spacious enough to contain a real bed, a desk, several comfortable chairs, cabinets, and one entire bulkhead lined with shelves of books. There were even old-fashioned paper books, thick and battered from long use, alongside the cyberbook chips. The floor was carpeted with a large, colorful oriental rug. Wearing a loose-fitting black tunic over charcoal-gray trousers, Fuchs was standing by what looked like a long picture window, gazing out at the stars. Actually, it was a wall screen, of course. "The universe," he said, gesturing with one hand toward the panorama of stars. I never tire of gazing at heaven. I was gaping at the books, I suppose, because he took a couple of steps toward the shelves and said, When your ship is your home, you bring the comforts of home along with you.
Books?
I asked, stupidly. What better? Fuchs countered. The memory of the human race is there. All the hopes and fears, all the vice and glory, all the loves and hates.
There was one book on his desk, a leather-bound volume that looked as if it were centuries old. I tried to make out the title on its spine, but the lettering was too cracked and faded.
Now then, Fuchs said crisply, I want you to spend the rest of the day familiarizing yourself with the communications gear. That's going to be your post from now on.
He spoke as if I had been a member of his crew since day one, as if the beating he had given me on the bridge had never happened.
It's a fairly standard setup. The comm computer does all the real work, Fuchs went on, digging his hands into the pockets of his tunic.
He pulled something out of his tunic pocket and popped it into his mouth. Pills of some sort.
Narcotics, I wondered. Being comm tech won't put too much of a strain on you, he said with a sneer.
He had forgotten nothing. Neither had I.
For as long as I live, I said. His eyes narrowed. What does that mean?
He's ill, Captain, Marguerite said.
Ill?
I have a pernicious anemia that was being controlled by enzyme injections that generated red cell proliferation, I said, all in a rush. Then I added, Captain.
Fuchs glanced from me to Marguerite, then back again. My pharmaceutical supplies went down with Hesperus, I went on. Unless we return to orbit and rendezvous with Truax, I'll be dead in a few days.
He huffed.
Really?
Really, Marguerite said.
Fuchs looked at me intently, chewing on his pills, then paced over to his desk. How do I know this isn't some crack-brain fraud that you've cooked up to keep me from winning your father's prize money?
I almost laughed at him.
Wait a few days and watch me die.
With a shrug, Fuchs said,
Okay, that's what I'll do then. In the meantime, you'll work the comm console.
You can't, Marguerite blurted.
Fuchs leveled a stubby finger at her. Don't presume that my feelings for your mother will allow you to behave disrespectfully to me. I'm the captain of this vessel, and you will not tell me what I can and cannot do.
Marguerite drew herself up to her full height, several centimeters taller than either Fuchs or myself. Her eyes blazed. If you allow Mr. Humphreys to die, Captain, I will bring charges of willful murder against you as soon as we reach Earth.
Strangely, he grinned at her. A mirthless, sardonic grin, almost a grimace. You've got your mother's spirit, sure enough, he said.
Then his normal scowl returned, and he said to me,
Report to the comm console, now!
Marguerite started to object.
But you...
Fuchs silenced her with a wave of his hand.
You bring up all the charges you want. We're a long way from Earth, and as long as we're on this vessel, my word is the law. Understand me?
But he'll die, Marguerite wailed.
What of it? Fuchs said.
Neither Marguerite nor I had an answer for him. Comtech. So I dutifully followed Fuchs to the bridge and sat at the horseshoe-shaped communications console. What choice did I have? I ruefully wondered which hurt more, my bruised face or my bruised ego. Marguerite came to the bridge also, and just stood near the hatch, staring at Fuchs unwaveringly. If she made the man uncomfortable, he gave no outward sign of it. I called up the operations manual for the comm system and concentrated on studying it. There were two others on the bridge, both silent, stocky, dour-faced Asians. Fuchs had apparently recruited his crew exclusively from the Orient. I started to wonder why. Were they more loyal, less likely to resent or resist his tyrannical ways? Perhaps they were willing to work for less pay. Or, more likely, they were simply more docile and obedient. I was totally wrong in each of my surmises, but I didn't know it then. Fuchs had been right about the communications system. If the operations manual was to be believed, the system was quite simple and logically set up. Its own internal computer did most of the work, and it interfaced with the ship's central computer very easily. I saw on one of the console's screens that there were dozens of messages from Truax that had gone unanswered.
The communications tech